Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 259 for August 3rd, 2016. We learn about the new location for the Dayton Hamvention. It's K9EID, and hey, we're here on Ham Nation to talk about Ham Nation and a very historic night for all of us because we have some guests, and we're going to learn a whole lot that all of you have been questioning and asking, but you're going to get the answers from the guys tonight because we have the masters of DERA here. And we'll bring them in just a second before we go to them and learn all about what's going to happen at Dayton in a few months. It's Gordo. Gordo, how you doing? Everything okay?
Everything is fine out here on the West Coast, and you're right, it's going to be an exciting night, Bob. This weekend, of course, is a VHF-UHF contest, and I know, Bob, you're a big VHF-UHF-er. Let's hope for 6 meters to open. Also, this Sunday, the 82nd Annual Hamfesters Hamfest, Will County Fairgrounds, Piotone, Illinois. And then in a couple weeks from now, the whole Ham Nation gang will be at Huntsville. At least Don and Gordo will be there. Maybe George will join us. Huntsville, August 20 and 21, we'll be doing our Instructor Academy. August 28, Sunday, Western Connecticut Ham Fest, Yellow Thunder Amateur Radio Club at Baraboo, Wisconsin, having their get-together. And then Boxborough, for those of you on the East Coast. So, Bob, we look forward to tonight big time. And in a couple of weeks, I'll look forward to seeing all of our viewers and listeners out at Huntsville, Alabama with Don. Back to you, Bob.
Okie dokie. You got it. And we're going to slip down into old Mississippi. How you doing, Don Wilbanks? Everything okay?
Yeah, everything is great. I'm excited about tonight. I mean, I'm excited because Huntsville is coming up. It's finally Huntsville time. It's Young Ham of the Year time, and we have Skylar Fennell, KD0WHB, Young Ham of the Year, who we will be meeting at Huntsville. But he's going to be on the air with us tonight here in just a few minutes. We've got Dr. Tamitha Scove coming back with us with her solar report, which is great. And I just had a thought where they just made the announcement about the new venue for Hamvention. Hamvention is 9 months away. This is like finding out you're going to be a parent for the first time. You've got 9 months to watch this baby grow and see exactly what it's going to grow into. And 9 months from now, we're going to birth a whole brand new era in Ham Nation and in Hamvention. And I can't wait. Bob, get me off the screen and let's get the DERA people on here. Y'all don't want to see me anymore. Let's get this thing on the road here. I'm ready.
We are going to happen, and I am really excited, and all of us here on the Twit Network are honored to have you here. Michael Coulter, we've talked many other times about Hamvention, but tonight's a very special night, and who's that you bring with you? I think somebody that's got a lot to do with it, right?
Yeah, I want to first say hello, and thank you very much for having us on your program, and we are all very, very excited here in Dayton, Ohio. And I'd like to introduce on my right side here, this is Ron Kramer. And Ron is our new Hamvention General Chairman. And just so you know, we switch General Chairman every 2 years. And actually, he and I both get paid the same amount as I'm the spokesperson. He runs it. And actually, we all work together, to be quite honest. But it's an all-volunteer effort. So we're excited. We can't wait to tell you about it. And I also want to mention that we wish the best to the Womper family. at Hera Arena. They have bent over backwards for years. There were times when our club was troubled, and we Hamvention was really troubled. We got through it, worked with them. It just at the last minute, it wasn't going to work out. But we have always had contingency plans. Stronger this year, having a real strong contingency plan than most years. But we're very excited, and we're excited to be on the program. So, you want to ask me something, or you want me to just start into it?
Well, Michael, I'd like for you just to let everybody know where this is going to be. I've got a little report that I got from that place, the new place, a while ago. But you need to tell us all about where it is, what it is, and the fact that this is going to be a lot better than Hera ever was from what I got today. So let's hear a little bit about what's going on in Xenia, Ohio.
You want to take that one, Ron?
Sure, sure. Well, we are moving from Hera, and like Michael was saying, we are sorry to leave, but we are so excited about the new venue. We are going to Xenia, Ohio, which is almost a suburb of Dayton. We're going to the Greene County Fair and Exposition Center. And this is a place that it's a wonderful place. There's a lot of room for us to grow. We can handle everything. We've searched high and low to find something out there that would fit us. And we know now that we do have something that fits Dayton Hamvention.
Yeah, and while you're showing some of that, we how many acres total, Ron, do we have available there for Hamvention?
We have 104 acres available to us. A part of that is in parking. It's going to take a lot of parking spaces, so we're hoping we can park everyone on the site.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how much the county commissioners, the city of Xenia, elected officials there, the local fire departments, the sheriff's departments, police, the news outlets, they're just bending over backwards to help us. And I will say a little bit of indifference between Montgomery County and Greene County. Greene County seems to be in financially in much better shape. And we are looking, we want to see this be successful. And as the county commissioners were telling us, they want it to be successful. So they are willing to help us in different things that we need to make this more successful. One of the things that's really important for a vendor is good internet. I don't know how many times I've heard complaints about good internet. Already started on it, already working on it, and they're bringing some new pipes in to have some really excellent internet into the fairgrounds itself. They have it there, but we want to make it very robust. And our key operative word that you'll hear Ron and I talk about is five-star. It'll be a five-star event. We're not going to just start out good and get better. We want to start out great and get awesome. So I know that sounds like, oh, yeah, really, they're really going to be able to pull that off. Wait and see. And the exciting thing is, if you've already got a report from some vendors today, why don't you let them know what they had to say? Because we've invited, of course, some of our vendors, and we hope more of them come by before the event, because it's a collaborative effort to support everybody, our customers, the hams, and also the vendors. So what did you hear them say, Bob?
Yeah, I got a phone call today from Roger Smallwood. Roger owns R&L Electronics. He was on the fairgrounds with Phil Parton from Kenwood, and I think Rich was there from MTC and all that down in Paris, Tennessee, Main Trading, and there were several others. But Roger called me. He said, you can use our name. I want you to tell everybody what we think about the new location. Because he said, I got to tell you, 24 hours ago, I was pretty blue. He said, I didn't really feel that a fairgrounds would be the place to put the great Hamvention.
He said, I was wrong. This place is gorgeous. And he said, it's going to be fantastic. He was so elated. And he was talking about parking. He thought parking was great because parking is going to be on site. And the facility was just beautiful. And one of the concerns that the larger manufacturers have, the majors, you know, they spend a lot of money. We're talking six figures to make booths. And they were afraid that it wouldn't fit. Well, it's going to fit just fine. They're going to have plenty of room. And yes, it's air conditioned, these kind of things. They were very excited. So we can share with all of you that according to what we heard from Kenwood and R&L and several of them today, they went to the fair. There's a fair going on. That's one of the reasons they went, is because Roger says, hey, we could be here when things are really rocking and rolling. So they got to see how things park and all that. And yes, it has a county fair atmosphere where they have places and pens for four-legged animals and all that. But they have a racetrack. Well, you know, we could maybe have a really cool thing. We could have a mobile race sometime. Who knows where it's going? Anyway,
we're going to have a scoot-around race.
There you go. But
that's just wrong.
Brought me today, and you might want to bring up a few things about the size of the air. Is it one building? Is it two or three buildings? Where will the forums be and that kind of thing? You want to answer some of that, please?
Everything is to be announced, probably. I guess we're just beginning to try to make sure everyone fits in. So some of the answers I give might be a little
subject to change, yes, and they're to yes. be announced, some of them. I mean, please keep in mind that we were waiting until, and I want to say this, they talked about that hockey team that pulled out. The hockey team was actually trying to buy Hera, and they invited us to come into some of the meetings. And, you know, we told the hockey team, great, if you buy this thing and you get us some kind of letter of intent and things that you're going to make it better for us, we'll stay. And they pulled out. I got a phone call from them. Hey, we pulled out of the deal. We couldn't wait any longer. And like Ron had said, and I'd mentioned too, we have been working hard. I mean, we worked everywhere around the area. We felt like it's important for us, for our volunteers, for our region to stay local as very best we can. And I can't tell you all the meetings we had to try to get this thing, get this place organized. But when we found these people, and I called the county commissioners, the meetings, it couldn't have worked out better right now. Is that
just yeah. extremely friendly people? They mm-hmm. they want to work with us. It's the meetings have been fun, actually. All I can say is they are as excited as we are to be there.
And getting back to the answering your questions, we will, and I know we'll have another, maybe have another program and have things laid out a little bit more on. Much more of the specifics of how we're going to do things, what we're going to lay out. And, you know, I sent me an email about the white pavilion tents. And we've been discussing those where we don't have enough room in places. We're going to make it happen. And it's going to be a 5-star event. And so give us just a little bit of time, because if you can imagine, you know, it's been such a tumultuous time to move from, okay, thinking Hera, this deal looks like it's going to go through, and it didn't, to where, okay, we're gonna have to go, we got to move, we got to start working, to where we are now. So I really hope that you would this, but as we listen to vendors and as they come in to give us ideas and working with our own team, this thing will grow and become, and we'll learn this year too. So I hope that gives you some idea, Bob. I mean, it's hard to give you all the specifics, and I do hope you understand that.
Sure, we do. We're just very, very honored that you're here to give us what you know now. Gordo, I know you had a couple of things. Why don't you come aboard, Gordo, and see what you have?
Well, my first reaction is, wow, Can we get all the exhibitors into the two or three buildings? And then, you know, at Las Vegas, at the Consumer Electronics Show, they put many of some of the entry exhibits in big, huge white tents that are air-conditioned, brighter than you can believe. Glass doors had opened up. So even if you had to do a tent, these tents these days are pretty impressive, and it could be cooler in the tent than many of the other facilities. So with all the room that both you and Ron have, Michael, I think it's just going to be a winner, winner, winner. And, you know, hams are fairly easy to please as long as we have food, close parking, and the big swap meet. So where do you think the swap meet will be that is so important to our Dayton attendees next May?
Okay, let me say something quickly, and I'll give it back to Ron. There's at least five buildings, not two or three. I think everybody's seen the scope of all the buildings that we are leasing for that weekend. So there's going to be a lot more room there than I think what people are originally seeing. And when you get there and take a look at it, you're going to go, oh, my God. And so it is big. For a county fair, it's huge. Greene County has been a very successful county. You know, county, it has some great shopping malls. And right through where Hamvention is, right on the edge of it, where it's going to be at the fairgrounds, there's a bike trail. And that bike trail extends from the Ohio River clear up into northern Ohio. Very beautiful bike trail. So that's another... it's something that people who love to bicycle might want to consider, and they might want to ride their bikes there, you know, if you want to, you know, if you're coming in from Cleveland or somewhere. So anyway, I'll let Ron talk a little bit more about the flea market area, swap area. I'm not sure that all the plans are set on that yet, but
right now we're talking about having it inside the track. There's a mile track there, and so we would take up the inside of that track. There's a lot of room. It will be about as big as what we had before. At Hera, we did have some spaces that were not filled, and there were people that would park their cars there and fill up a space. So I think there's going to be more than enough room for even more people to come in. We have closed parking, so they don't have to park their car inside the flea market. Building-wise, we have three very large buildings, plus we have, well, actually four large buildings, plus other smaller buildings in there. So I think we will be able to fill those buildings up with the additional chalets or tents. I think we can add a lot more people. We will have forums. We don't want to cut that at all. We have RV parking now, right on the site.
What do we got? 180
sites. I think there's 180 spaces there.
But for those of you who hear this about the RV parking, we are really not ready to take those reservations yet. I mean, we're going to put a plan together on that. But as soon as that becomes available, we're going to put that on the internet. But that, and all the sites, they're either, for those RVers out there, they're either 30 amp or 50 amp, and each one has a water hookup and a sewer hookup. It's tightly fit, but it's very, very nice. So we're excited about that. And also, the way that the food is going to work, it's not going to be a fairground food. We're working with the fairgrounds people, but we're bringing in, you know, vending people who have, you know, different vending trucks. There's a high-class company. I can't remember the name of it that brings in a lot of this, but we've also sampled some of the food there at the fairgrounds, some of the local people, and we want to be sure some of those folks come in too, because their food is just unbelievably good, and they've got places set up already outside to eat. And we'll have parking lot shuttles to bring people in, and there'll be more other surprises. So I do hope that as the year goes, you'll have us on a little bit more, and we can update you on all the exciting things that we're going to do, and because it's coming. And it's going to be a five-star event.
Doors always open for you, Michael, because we want to keep you informed with what our chat room and our audience wants, and I think that'll be good for you. And of course, there's a tremendous amount of viewers here, and we're very excited to have you on, and we can help generate some interest on things people want. I personally, I guess it's because I started my life at the Dayton Hamvention in 1959, practically. I was a 19-year-old snot-nosed kid, and I was called by Bob Drake to come and visit their little club thing that they had. And I said, okay, little club thing. It was 600 people in the Biltmore Hotel in downtown Dayton. And I was one of the first 10 characters, young kid, that had built a 2-meter kilowatt single sideband transmitter. And I was helped by a KMOX CBS engineer to do that. And it was the start of my life because I learned to do things through all of the workshops that have been created and done all these years. And one of the major, major concerns for the Dayton Hamvention will be those workshops. And you guys already know that, but I just put it out there publicly that's the backbone of the Dayton Hamvention. And before I take it over to Don, there's one other thing. I get a lot of things, questions, like everybody. My inbox the last week's been something. Why don't they move it to here? Why don't they take it there? Why don't they move it to there? Wait a minute. There's 600 volunteers. I think I'm right on this. 600 volunteers.
650.
And move them to Indianapolis for a week? People don't get that, do they? But it's got to be in Dayton. It has to be in Dayton. And it's as far from Miller Lane as Hera is from Miller Lane, I think. Isn't it, Ron, just about?
Actually, from the center of Dayton to the center of Xenia is about a 20-minute drive. And it's a freeway.
Yeah, cool.
That's fine. Well,
and we've had some
ready
complaints
to go
on that
situation. Everybody's wanting to know, where do we stay? You stay in your regular hotels in Dayton, and you got it made. Hey, Don, are you you ready to go? What is your take on the guys?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm absolutely ready. We usually stay at the University of Dayton, and that sounds like that's just a short trip right down the road from where you guys are going to be. But I'm the amateur radio newsline guy, which means I'm the news guy, and I like to make the guests uncomfortable with the hard-hitting questions, and I like to ask the questions that everybody is afraid to ask. And so I'm going to pose a question right now, and I want you gentlemen to be absolutely, absolutely upfront and above board with this, talking about the food. Is the cheesecake on a stick guy going to be there?
We can try.
We'll get him there for you, Don. I mean, put that down in the notes, Ron.
Jot that down. Take a note. Note to self, Don wants cheesecake on a freaking stick. Got to have it.
Don, we got to make it happen. I see you're a guitar player, Don, so we'll make it happen for you.
I'm more of a guitar owner, but one of these days I'll find some time to see if I can make that thing make more than just noise. But I think this is going to be a great new era. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. So, I mean, my first trip to Dayton was 1999. And I went every year for, until about, 2000, I don't remember. Let's see, 84, 94, 2009. I went every year until 2009. And then it was every other year from then on, pretty much. And I can't be happier. I thought, Dayton, Hera was cool. And we're going to talk about, we have a little report actually on Hera in the Newsline segment coming up. That of course, was produced on Sunday. I produced it on Sunday. So of course it's old news by now. But we talk about Hera a little bit, and everybody knows that Hera was an old facility, and Hera had its character issues, but you know what? Hera was Hera. Hamvention is Hamvention. And it's one door closing and another grand door opening. And I couldn't be more excited. And I think that you guys are just going to knock it out of the park. So I'm with you. I'm 100% with you.
And before you guys cut us off, I'd like to hear Gordon's exciting moments at Hamvention. I've been seeing him for years, too. I mean, at Hera Arena. So, Gordon, what are your great thoughts, Hera?
You know, probably the most important thing that makes things happen at Hamvention are the volunteers. Every year, those volunteers are there to help the exhibitors or the attendees. So I'll tell you, that's where my heart is with those hard workers that give a full week of their time, plus almost a year of their time putting these together. So my big deal is thank you, volunteers at Dayton, for putting Hamvention on year after year. And I want to hear more of your guitar playing, Michael.
Gordo, that the thing could not happen without the volunteers. I guarantee you. We get in there on Tuesday because of our booth. We have a 100-foot booth, as you know, and they've always been very helpful to us to get us in early so we can be out of the way of everybody. So we see a lot of things that went on there. And I tell you, when those volunteers come in, look out. It just happens. And the day before, when nobody's there, it's like, oh, boy. But we're really looking forward to all this. I think it'd be kind of fun. I'm seeing a couple of things from the chat room. One of them wanted to know if there was good handicap accessible parking. Somebody already answered it. Nigel, W8IFF, he said, all parking is handicap accessible. Flat level sports field with paved walkways everywhere. He must know that place pretty well. And the other one, somebody wanted to know if they're going to have brats there to eat. I'm sure that you can answer that.
I mean, we are ham radio operators like food, and we're stressing excellent five-star junk food. I mean, good food, too.
Exactly. Good food.
We'll have some. Well, anything else in the chat?
We really, really appreciate you being here, and we're looking forward to a stellar 2017. That's kind of great because a lot of people thought it would never happen. They figured that last year would be the last. Well, it was that way for a while, so you guys have been working behind the scenes, and I applaud you very much for it. And we'll continue on and see where Hamvention and Hamvention goes. I want to go around the horn. We got Gordo's. I want to find out what Don's. What's your best event? What's your one thing that made Hamvention really mean something to you?
Oh man, you know I remember Hera. I remember walking into that place and just being amazed. I mean, I'm kind of an old building buff anyway, so I thought Hera was cool as it could be. But it took the first 3 years to figure out where everything was, and that was the thing. But I think my coolest memory, besides all of the Newsline town hall meetings that we had, and where maybe thinking about getting those started back up again. That was something that Bill Pasternak always spearheaded. And sadly, you know, he has taken his considerable light into another room now. But the last Newsline town hall meeting that we had was a retrospective of the old ARRL films that Bill and Dave Bell made, produced and put together. And it was me and Dave Bell on stage talking about those films and taking Q&A from the audience and watching snippets of those and talking about that and hearing the backstories and just spending some quality time with a guy who was a legend in television producing, literally. You need to, if you don't know about Dave Bell, you need to Google him. Dave Bell, W6AQ, Dave Bell and Associates. He was one of the fathers of what you call now reality television. But getting to spend some time with him was just an absolute thrill for me. And of course, you know, Dave Bell is gone now too. So that's my favorite memory, I think, of Hamvention of the years that I've gone, is those Newsline town hall meetings in general, and that one with me and Dave Bell in particular. That was just a magical day for me.
It's magical. I have to be in the audience for that. My my one, and there were very, very many. The one I told you about was the very first one in 1959. But in the best one, I guess, has to go down for me in 1982 when I was introduced to the banquet. That's when they had big banquet on Saturday night. I was introduced by Roy Neal, K60UE, and I received the Ham of the Year Award in 1982. That was incredible for me. It was just one of those magic moments, and I've loved it ever since, and I'm so happy that it's going to be an even better event from what I can hear. So thank you guys very, very much. We'll have to make a special corner for Katie, WY7YL, because Katie met her husband there. I don't know if we'll do something about that for Katie, but I'm sure there's a lot of them that met there. But you guys you're just great. You've done a stellar job, and we appreciate it very, very much. We hope that the event is going to be just even bigger, and it sounds like it will. Thanks for coming, guys.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you. We support you guys. Thank you so much. And to everybody out there, a shot, work with us. It's going to be a 5-star event. We're working hard for that. Thanks. 73s, everybody.
73.
Thank you, gentlemen. All right. The news doesn't get better than that, Don, but maybe you do have something that it won't top it, but give us some other news, maybe about the weather or something. But
we'll do that. Yeah, we've got Newsline coming up next. And I just thought you mentioned the banquet. I completely forgot about the banquet. The 1999, the first year I went, was the year that Joe Walsh played. And so I got to see a Joe Walsh concert my first year in Dayton. And then I think it was the year after that was the Smothers Brothers. And I'll never forget Tommy and Dick making ham radio jokes and talking about, I run a full gallon. I mean, it was just the best. It was just, oh man, so many cool memories. But the neat thing about memories is you get to make more. And that's exactly what we're going to do as the new era starts. So why don't we go ahead and get into the news of the week. And again, the news of the week has all been Dayton and Hera and Hamvention. And let's go ahead and get into the news of the week now from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2022, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, August 3rd, 2016. Major breaking news regarding the Dayton Hamvention. Hera Arena has closed. Hera Arena is history. It was announced on Friday, July 29th, that after decades of internal legal and financial battles, the 60-year-old entertainment complex in Trotwood, Ohio, would be closing its doors for good. Since its opening in 1964, Hera Arena has hosted everything from small local gatherings in minor league sports to high-profile events, including presidential visits, hockey legend Wayne Gretzky's professional debut, and major concerts including Prince, Nirvana, The Grateful Dead, and The Rolling Stones. Hera is the region's largest event center with 165,000 square feet of space, including a 7,000-seat arena and 14 meeting rooms. Hera and Hamvention have a long history together. Hera was home to Dayton Hamvention since it opened in 1964. In a statement released on Friday, Karen Wampler, Hera's marketing director, said, quote, "We're painfully aware of the loss this announcement will generate, which is why we fought so long and hard to prevent it. We'd hoped to announce a new era at Hera, but are announcing the end of one instead," end quote. The family says it worked for years to clear Hera's debt, lighten its tax burden, and place it on a more sustainable path, but was unable. The Dayton Demolition, the area's minor league hockey team, announced 2 days earlier that they would no longer be playing at Hera Arena. In a posting to the Dayton Demolition website, team owner and coach Joe Pace said, quote, "I came to Dayton to run a professional hockey team for not only this year, but for years to come. Unfortunately, due to circumstances out of my control, Hera Arena is unable to sign leases not only to myself, but to other tenants. At this time, I regret to announce that Dayton professional hockey will be going dormant for the 2016-2017 season due to arena availability and lack of lead-up time," end quote. So what's next for Hamvention, the world's largest amateur radio convention with an average annual attendance approaching 25,000? A news release from Hamvention General Chair Ron Kramer, KD8ENJ, on Friday said, quote, "The Dayton Amateur Radio Association regrets to inform our many vendors, visitors, and stakeholders that unfortunately Hera has announced the closing of their facility. We've begun execution of our contingency plan to move Hamvention 2017 to a new home. Dara and Hamvention have enjoyed many successful years working together with Hera Arena, and we wish the Wampler family the best. Dara and Hamvention have been working on a contingency plan in the event Hera would become unavailable.
We've spent many hours over the last few years evaluating possible locations and have found one in the area we believe will be a great new home. Due to logistics and timing issues, we will make a formal announcement introducing our new partner. This information will be coming soon. We all believe this new venue will be a spectacular place to hold our beloved event. Please rest assured we will have the event on the same weekend, and since it will be in the region, the current accommodations and outside events already planned for Hamvention 2017 should not be affected. We look forward to your continued support as we move to a new future with the Dayton Hamvention, end quote. Hera and Hamvention have been part of each other for over 50 years. As with anything that lasts that long, saying goodbye is bittersweet. Yes, Hera had major problems, and we all know what those were, so there's no need to rehash here. Joe Eisenberg, KZRO-NEB, has been going to Hamvention every year since the 1970s and documents his annual pilgrimages with his very popular Dayton slideshows. He made an homage to Hera in Haunting Black and White. You can see it, and many others showcasing Hamvention over the decades, at his YouTube channel. The easiest way to find him is to type K0NEB in the search box, and you'll see his channel under the name Joe Husker. As one chapter closes, another begins. Thanks, Hera, for the memories. Of course, much more in future Newsline reports. Our other big story, the 2016 Young Ham of the Year has been announced. The 2016 Bill Pasternak Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year is 17-year-old Skylar Fennell, KD0WHB from Denver, Colorado. An extra-class ham, his many interests include satellites, digital, Linux, and amateur radio, and so much more. Outside of amateur radio, he's an accomplished pianist and avid cyclist. You'll learn more about Skylar Fennell when we, along with corporate sponsors CQ Communications, Yaesu, Heil Sound, and Radio Waves Antennas, officially present him with the 2016 Young Ham of the Year Award at the Huntsville Ham Fest August 20th. If you can't be there, you can watch it live online at W5KUB.com. Congratulations, Skylar. We'll see you August 20th at the Huntsville Ham Fest for the presentation. There's lots more to this week's news, so we invite you to listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And now here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We have a stealthy solar storm that is now hitting Earth right now and causing aurora all over the world, as well as disrupting the ham bands. And some more bad news for you amateur radio operators, as some more storming looks like it might actually come and cause problems for you all the way through the weekend. Those stories and more in the news this week. The sun has been extremely active this week. We had a stealthy solar storm that launched on the 29th. Good thing for Dr. Nariaki Nita. He was the one who actually watched this thing erupt and alerted us. It's also right next to this coronal hole here, which is giving it some fast wind and pushing all of this mess towards Earth. And we've been having storming with aurora all over the world for the past 24 hours. We also have another coronal hole that's going to be rotating into the Earth strike zone, and it will bring some more fast wind later in the week, starting around the 6th. So it looks like you amateur radio operators are in for some trouble all the way through the weekend. Switching to our M-flare threat meter, you can see back at the end of July, we had quite a few M-class flares because of a couple bad actors on the sun. Those two regions have actually rotated around to the backside, and things have now died down to below the seafloor, and we're hardly getting any C-class flares at all. And that's good news for your amateur radio operators in the sense there's no radio blackouts, but bad because it also means the solar flux is really low. So amateur radio propagation right now is actually quite marginal, and it will continue to be that way for the foreseeable future. Switching to our solar storm conditions, you can see we actually haven't had that much activity even since late July. A couple pops here and there from some moderately fast wind, and then we got really, really quiet. So any of you amateur radio operators who had a hard time getting any propagation on the bands, that's part of the reason. It just got really quiet. And then, bam, here comes this stealthy solar storm slamming into Earth. It's still ongoing, and it's getting that extra push from the fast wind behind it. So we are still going to see some storming probably over the next 24 hours before things begin to calm down, and then we're going to get hit with some more fast wind, so likely the activity will ramp back up again. Switching to our solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating a lot of storming, as you can see, especially at high latitudes. We're still expecting minor storm conditions all the way through today. NOAA is still giving us a possibility of about 55% chance for a major storm. That's going to calm down over the next couple days. At mid-latitudes, we're only expecting active conditions, and we are definitely seeing that with only about a 25% chance of a minor storm, and that will calm down over the next couple days, but then we'll ramp back up again with that that new set of fast wind that should be hitting us around the 6th. So expect to see the aurora possibilities increase, and also the amateur radio bands should probably continue to tank over the weekend. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation forecast for the coming week, everything is pretty much in the green when it comes to solar flares. We only have one active region on the Earth-facing disk right now, and it is... So don't worry about that. We do also have some low solar flux, but the nice spot is that it's actually beginning to rise because we do have some activity that's coming onto the East Limb. It's going to take probably close to a week for all of that to rotate into Earth view and actually cause maybe some flare activity again. But till then, we will get a little bit of a upswing in the solar flux, which should help you amateur radio operators. So this week is turning out to be very exciting. We have that solar storm that's hitting Earth right now, and it's causing aurora all over the world. And then we have some more fast wind that should be hitting Earth starting around the 6th, so in and in through this weekend. So you aurora photographers should really keep your eyes out. It should be a wonderful display for you all through this week. And then you amateur radio operators, you just kind of got to grit your teeth a little bit and get through this weekend. But the nice thing is that we've got that new activity that's coming back into Earth view. This includes those bad actors that we saw a couple weeks ago that were popping all those M flares. They've since quieted down, but they could still give us some disturbances, but at least they'll up the solar flux so that you can enjoy decent amateur radio propagation. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Always good stuff from Dr. T. Thank you so much for that. And this is my favorite time of the year because it's Huntsville Hamfest time and it's Young Ham of the Year time. And we had a ton of really good nominees this year. We had 7, I do believe. And the person who won is Skylar Fennell, KD0WHB, and he was actually nominated by 2 different people. I see W0ANT Anna Veal is in the chat room tonight. Hi, Anna. Good to see you in there. Anna is the 2015 Young Ham of the Year. Her dad, Paul, was one of the ones who nominated. Paul is a teacher and knows Skylar very well. The other person who nominated Skylar was the noted amateur radio instructor who does the youth forum, Carol Perry. And she's an award winner herself, Carol Perry, along with DX Engineering's Tim Duffy. They both won the ASME Award back in May, back around Dayton Hamvention time. So we've got some amazing award-winning people in our midst. And let's go ahead and pull Skylar Fennell. I think I mispronounced your name, Skylar, in the Newsline piece, and I'm sorry about that. It's Skylar Fennell. How are you? It's good to see your face. How are you tonight?
I'm doing really good tonight, and thanks for having me here. Really excited to be part of the Ham Nation episode.
We're excited you're here. Let me toot your horn here for a little bit. You're from Littleton, Colorado. You're 17. You were first licensed as a tech in July of 2013. 3 months later, you got your general, and then 3 months later or so, you got your extra. So 0 to extra in 6 months. You're the 2016 Rocky Mountain Division Young Ham of the Year, and you're the Rocky Mountain Division Technical Achievement Award winner as well. You've been pretty active, I see here, in high-altitude ballooning with the AB0 BX STEM School and an amateur radio club there, installing their UHF repeater system, getting that linked into All-Star. High-altitude balloon team, determining which batteries are best suited for 100,000-foot altitudes. You designed a circuit for sound wave propagation studies that went to in excess of 103,000. You collaborated to complete your own payload, which is an APRS system that measured static electricity at various altitudes. I got to tell you, Skylar, I'm feeling a little inferior here, but I do every year, and I love it. You've given all kinds of presentations, of course, Hamvention, at Carol Perry's Youth Forum. You talked to the QCWA. You designed a UHF portable node for internet linking, which you sold via a GoFundMe page to raise some money for the Amateur Radio Club. You have a presidential GPA of over 4.000. You're an amazing concert pianist. You need to go on YouTube and search Skylar Fennell and listen to this young man play. You're an Eagle Scout, and you're going to one of the top 10 engineering schools in the country, New Mexico Technical University. I don't think I've left anything out. There's probably a lot more that you've done, but tell us how it was when you got that call from Mark Abramovich, NT3V, who was the Young Ham of the Year committee chair. How did you feel when you got that? Take us into your mind when you got that phone call saying that you were the winner.
Well, I was obviously super excited. It was just a really great time for me, and I started out just as a tech, and I with my interest in electronics, and I've just kind of been building up the ladder, and I've just really enjoyed every single bit of amateur radio that I've been a part of. I'm super interested in the technical end. I've constructed many things, and I've really think amateur radio has helped me with all this because of the people I've met on the air, broadcast engineers, and really amateur radio has been the biggest part of my life.
Good. Well, okay. You being into the technical end and into the internet linking end of it, I'm gonna tell you about a little something that happened to me at work yesterday. AB4. Oh, I can't think. I can never think of his call. But he's an IT guy with iHeartMedia, which used to be Clear Channel. I worked for a group of radio stations, the biggest in the country. And he's down from Florida, and we're both into D-Star. And so he brought his Raspberry Pi and DV Mega, and I brought and his 51, his ICOM ID 51, and I brought my Raspberry Pi and DV Mega, and we're standing downstairs in engineering with my Pi and Mega linked into my hotspot on my iPhone, his Pi and Mega linked into the hotspot on his iPhone, and we're talking to each other through the 3 Charlie reflector, which is based in Australia. It doesn't get any nerdier than that, and I know that's something that you would probably appreciate.
Yeah. I'm really interested in the All-Star Link system. I think it combines traditional radios, analog yeah. FM with new technology, so you don't have to have a lot of money to get into it, and it's all open source Linux. I got interested in All-Star when I actually visited a guy who lives on the very top of a mountain. He has it's Willem, AC0KQ, and he had fiber optics running throughout the whole mountain. He had voted receivers on all the sides, and he had it all linked in with All-Star, and he really sparked my interest. And that's kind of what got me into Linux and amateur radio. And, yeah. So, I guess yeah, right there, Sean, is...
We're watching some video of you now. What's going on with this?
That is the payload for the DSA Amateur Radio Club, the club I started last year, Edge of Space Sciences Flight. We had a electrostatic receiver, so it detected DC... high voltage fields, and that's the spinning thing you saw on the top. And then we had an APRS beacon, which beaconed out the temperature, humidity, pressure, and location. Wow. And then we had a little camera. That was kind of last minute. We had extra weight. So that was a really fun project, bringing the club together and getting the balloon launch working. And it was a success. There were a few problems, but for the most part, our payload was a success and had a lot of fun.
Good. I want to turn the proceedings over to Bob and to Gordon, but I have a for their questions. But I have a question from KM4IYQ Dudley in the chat room. He wants to know, what do you do in your spare time, and do you even have any spare time?
Well, I mean, ham radio and electronics and tinkering is what I do in my spare time. That is. Basically, what my spare time is. I'm not a video game person. I just really love building stuff and being creative and enjoy electronics a lot.
Good. Well, my 16-year-old son Tyler starts his junior year in high school tomorrow, but he's taking the weekend off to come with me to Huntsville. So hopefully, you and him can hang out and have a little fun. And he's interested in this. He's a little more interested in the video games and in video editing and audio production. I'm trying to push him away from broadcasting, but I don't know that that's working. But hopefully you and Tyler can hang out. It's funny, Tyler and Skyler, I mentioned that to your mother. It was funny the other day. Hopefully you and him can hang out and find some common ground. I'm looking forward to that. So,
definitely.
Gordon, are there any questions you have for Skyler Fennell tonight? I know you've got to have some.
Hi, Skyler. Good to see you again. We met
good to see you.
Colorado. Get together, and how high did that balloon ascend to?
That one got to 96,000.
Wow!
Some of the balloons with the STEM school, we got the one I was recently just on Saturday did one with STEM. We got to 105 or 104,000. That just space sciences, they really do a good job about.
And you used APRS to find the payload after it came down?
Yes, we used APRS. The Edge of Space Sciences has an APRS tracker, and then I also had my own. For the receiving station, I used the Linux software in the vehicle with a homebrew little TNC just out of a sound card, and it worked really well for finding where the balloon was.
Well, that is terrific. Well, Skyler, we look forward to seeing you in Huntsville in 2 weeks along with Ms.
Ferry.
Yeah,
I really look forward to it, too.
Thanks so much for joining our show tonight. Don, back to you.
Yeah, Bob, I know you want to say hello to Skyler, so come on in and meet this exceptional young man. Ah, Bob has walked away. All right, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to continue on then, but Skyler, it's a pleasure having you on the show tonight to introduce you to the Ham Nation people, and we certainly look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks at the Huntsville Ham Fest. And I know you're going to have a good time and just enjoy living life. Okay, Bob, go ahead and join us with Skyler here real quick.
Well, I only wish you the best because I know what can happen when ham radio takes hold and you learn all this stuff, Skyler. It's how I learned to do all these things. I have so many people that will say, how did you do this? And what college did you go to? And what did you, I didn't. I learned it from ham radio. So yeah. Hats off to you, man. And keep the soldering iron warm. And we'll have to get together and put the piano. Well, I have I have three Steinways on my theater organ, but maybe we'll take one off and we can play a concert together. How's that?
Yeah. So you play piano?
No, I play theater organ.
Okay.
Big cool. Theater pipe organs. That's my
deal.
That's
awesome. I took organ lessons a couple summers ago, and I had it's so much fun with all the manuals and just really had a great time expanding on the keyboard.
Well, I really appreciate you being on tonight, and I congratulate you and your parents, and you keep it up, man, and we'll keep a watch. I think Don's got a string on you. He knows what you're doing all the time, so you want to be careful. So thanks a lot, Don, for having this all together, and guess you guys all meet up in Huntsville, and he gets the big trophy, right, Don?
Yeah, he does. We've got we're gonna be on stage at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon on the 20th, and if you can't be there in person, you can be there virtually through Tom Medlin and W5KUB.com. He's a great partner with us with that, and of course, we can't get out of here without thanking our corporate supporters. That is Yaesu and CQ Communications. They've been with the Young Ham of the Year Award for 30 years now. I believe you're the 30th. I believe this is the 30th year, or pretty close to it. So, and of course, Heil Sound is another great partner that we have. And one of the newest is Radio Waves Antenna, Emmett and Rochelle and their family. Just we've got the greatest people doing the greatest things for the greatest kids on the planet. And we could not be more proud to have you represent Bill Pasternak and his memory of something he created in the Young Ham of the Year Award. So we will see you in a couple of weeks at Huntsville, and I'm looking forward
awesome.
To it.
Me too.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Skyler Fennell, KD0WHB. I got to double check, make sure I got that right. I think, yep, I've got it right.
Yeah, KD0WHB.
That's good. Thank you, my friend. We'll keep in touch with you, and you've got my cell phone. If there's anything you need, just give me a call between now and Huntsville, and we'll do the thing, and it's going to be awesome.
Okay, cool. I'll see you in Huntsville.
Thank you. It's amazing that the caliber of young people that we get every year for Young Ham of the Year, it just seems like it gets better and better and better. And we're so proud. I say it every year. If these are the kind of people that are going to be running the world after we're gone, then I think we're all going to be just fine. You know, something else that's going on that's big, besides, of course, you know, we're talking about the Huntsville Ham Fest, and we're talking about Hamvention and what's going to be going on there in 9 months. Something that's going on now that is of great interest to both hams and non-hams alike, and especially those in aviation, is the Oshkosh Air Venture. That is the Hamvention of the airplane world. And we have Dan Van Evenhoven up there at the special event. So let's go ahead and run a little bit of video from that.
Welcome to AirVenture 2016 in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, in the W9ZL Special Event Station on the grounds of Whitman Regional Airport. The W9ZL Special Event Station, operated by the Foxes Amateur Radio Club, is located on EAA grounds at Pioneer Airport, which is part of KidVenture at what's known as the Lone Rock Service Station. KidVenture allows kids to explore aviation on several different fronts, including amateur radio. The Foxy's Amateur Radio Club has been doing the AirVenture Special Event Station for many years. What would KidVenture be without having a couple kids running the radios? Emma, KC9YGJ, was knocking out contacts on 20 meters using John's KC9FMC's Yaesu FT1000 MP Mark V. That was going into a vertical, and Emma was pounding out those contacts. And Jonathan, KD9CZR, not to be outdone, was running an ICOM 746 into a dipole on 40 meters. He was pounding out the contacts as well.
NA2 X-ray, go ahead. You're 5 and 8 from W9CL. Over. Very good, Bob. Thank you for the contact. We're at the EAA in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and it's a big event. You know, people from all over the world are playing.
And that's the AirVenture 2016 W9ZL Special Event Station. Hopefully you can be at AirVenture 2017. For now, this is N9LVS at the W9ZL Special Event Station in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, the new 73.
Good stuff. Appreciate it. Now let's look at something from ICOM.
Summertime fun. Get out there and get on the air. There's still plenty of time to enjoy the summer shine. Camping, road trips, hiking, and more. Wherever your adventure takes you this summer, make sure you bring your ICOM equipment along for the fun. On the go this summer, ICOM's new IC7300 is perfect for your next road trip. Revolutionary design and compact size, the real HF fun starts here. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, SD card memory slot, and more. Why not communicate with the touch of your fingertips? Perfect for small spaces, the IC7100 is the ideal D-Star option for all outdoor seekers. Angle control head and touchscreen for quick intuitive operation, large internal speaker for clear digital audio, and it's perfect for multi-band and all-mode communications. Don't leave home without this mobile device. The ID5100A is a must-have for summertime travel, intuitive touchscreen operation, dual receivers with GPS, DV dual watch, Bluetooth option, and headset option. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, you can learn how you could be entered into the monthly grand prize drawing for a radio. And for July, we've got a winner now. That was Marv, KD0KAJ. He won the ICOM ID5100A dual band D-Star analog mobile. So congratulations, Marv. We've got another radio, though, that's going to be given away in August. It's the ICOM ID880H switchable VHF-UHF dual band transceiver. Does analog and D-Star, 50 watts on VHF and UHF, wideband receiver, free cloning software, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. While you're there, check out the official rules. Sign up. Good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, last week I had a Tales from the Transmitter site that I told you a little bit about. This week, you don't even want to know, so we won't even go there. But, lots of excitement happening this week. And by the way, Don, I will be in Huntsville with you and Gordo and Skyler and whoever else makes it. So looking forward to that. That is, if I can get all these transmitters to cooperate so I can sneak out of town long enough.
There you go.
Well, I got a couple of things to give away here. You know, last week I asked a question, and what the question was is, which of the following is a safety hazard of a 12-volt storage battery? Your choices were A, touching both terminals with the hands can cause electrical shock. No, a 12-volt battery is not going to shock you if you touch it with your hands. C, RF emissions from the car battery. Car battery shouldn't have RF emissions, so I wouldn't worry about that. B, shorting the terminals can cause burns, fire, or an explosion. Or D, all of these choices are correct. Well, we know it's not D, so it's going to be B, and Joshua Darkow knew that. He said, yeah, the answer is B. Shorting the terminals can cause burns, fires, and an explosion. So congratulations, Joshua. DX Engineering will be sending you this 2015 Contest University textbook. So a lot of good information on there to get you up and running and hopefully winning with contesting. For next week, I've got another prize. Oh, let me just say something else about that battery causing burns, fires, or explosions. I used to work with a guy who had burn place there in his wrist. You remember those metal bracelets, the big chains that a lot of people used to wear? He had one of those on, and he was changing a car battery with a wrench and accidentally got his bracelet and that wrench across the two terminals, and they touched, and it arced, and it stuck there, and he couldn't do anything until it melted away.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, really be careful when you're messing around with a car battery. That's a lot of amps there. I mean, you could weld with that. And that's basically what happened to him until it finally burned up. So,
same thing with this right here, George. Look, this will get you too.
Very similar.
Yeah, watch, man. You know what? Yep. In close quarters, that'll get you. And that'll get you too. So take all your rings and watches and everything else off when you're fooling with any kind of electricity. It's just it's just good practice.
Yep, definitely is. And I only use one hand if you're working on anything higher voltage.
Yeah.
Don't get two hands up in there. Just keep one. Mm-hmm. That way when you get shocked, which eventually you'll probably get shocked, but at least it won't travel and go through your heart.
Through your heart,
so,
right.
Always be careful. I've got
another
question.
Been there, done that, too.
Yep. I've got another question for next week. This one also comes from the amateur radio technician exam. Which type of modulation is most commonly used for VHF and UHF voice repeaters? A, AM, B, single sideband, C, PSK, or D, FM? And I bet Don knows the answer, but we don't want to hear it, Don, so please don't give it away. Yeah, nope. You're pulling a horse shack over there. So anyway, what we're going to give away is a MFJ 113. We've given this away before. Not this one, but one just like it. And I can't get it to where you can see it very well there through the microphone. There we go. MFJ 113, 24-hour giant LED alarm clock. You can switch it to 12 or 24 hours. I think 24 hours is cool. And if you got a clock that'll do that, why not? So send your answer to me on that question, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might be next week's lucky winner. Well, now we're running a little late, so let's get straight on in to Amanda and see what's going on.
Well, good evening, George, and everyone else. First, I'd like to say congratulations, Skyler. He's such a good kid, and we enjoy having him come in on our repeater system all the time here, and we've met up with him so many times, and he's just won everything this year. He's got the clean sweep, I think, for everything around the division and everything. Okay, enough of that. I've got a lot of announcements to make. First of all, we have the Shreveport Hamfest that's coming up August 13th, and go to shreveporthamfest.com for more information about that. The second thing is WB5ORT wants us to know that the New Mexico State Convention is coming up on the 12th through the 14th, better known as the Duke City Ham Fest, you guys. This is always a fun one. I know Bob and Gordo have both been there on occasion. So always a good swap fest out in the parking lot as well. Next thing, Marty 80PO wants us to know that there is a Ham Fest coming up in Joplin, Missouri. And that's on August 27th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. And he says it's the biggest one in Southwest Missouri. So another announcement we have is that PJ6Y from Saba Island, I think is how you pronounce it, or maybe Saba Island. I'm not sure. They're having the Youth De-Expedition there, you guys. So listen out for them and look for them on the spots. And tell those kids they're doing a good job. And I think some of you guys would know some of them. They've been at the Leah family has been out doing some POTAs this year and stuff like that. So look for them and encourage them. So let's get on to questions now. And this is kind of a question and announcement at the same time. KD2LNA Steve just got his technician license. So yay, Steve, on that. But at the same time, he made the statement that he would look forward to getting his general license, but he heard it's pretty expensive to upgrade into the HF realm. So with that, I don't think that's true. Bob, we have cheap ways of getting on HF, don't we?
We did it right here. We've done it a couple of times. I think I spent all of $150, and I had Roger from R&L at Dayton one year. I said, look, here's $150. I want you to go out and because I never can get in the parking lot. I just can't happen. I wish I could, but we get so busy. And he comes back with an ICOM 730, even had the microphone because it has to have because 730s don't have mic preamps, so you got to use their mic. Anyway, we got it. And if you remember, I went out here between two little trees. I think the thing was all 10 to 15 feet. I put it up. And the first contact we work on, I mean, this was, I've had a lot of people say, you set that up. No, I didn't. I turned it on at 20 meters, and I heard a guy in London, and I talked to him with that $150 radio, and I had it here for about a year, and then another young fellow needed a rig, and so that was it. But you can go back. It's been some time ago, years. But no, it does not cost much for amateur radio. It does if you want to get crazy. But there's a tremendous amount of great new equipment, and especially now, ICOM has produced a flood of used equipment because of the 7300. And you know what? Yep. If you can afford it, you buy a 7300, and you're set for your entire life, I think. It's really great. But no, don't let people scare you away. It does not cost much to get any kind of gear, and you'll have fun with all of it. But get that general license and get down there on real-time radio. Don, you got anything to say about that?
Absolutely. Another thing is join your local club, because chances are somebody there, one of the old guys, is going to have a radio. It's like, you know, I got this old whatever it is. I don't even remember what the heck it is, but I know it works. Sitting in my closet, I haven't had the thing on the air in 20 years. Why don't you just take it home with you? I'd rather, right. You know, I'm not going to use it. You just take it home with you. I'll give it to you. You were getting into HF. That happens all the time. It happened to me. Somebody gave me a 10-meter mobile when I first got my Technician Plus. They said, here, just throw this in your truck and have fun with it. And I did. And it was great. And one of the first contacts I made, 10-meter mobile with 25 watts on a Fire Stick, a 3-foot Fire Stick CB whip, essentially, was from New Orleans to Japan. Talked for that almost that same day was New Orleans to Australia on a little, it was a unit in 2510. 10-meter radio. So there are inexpensive or free ways to get into HF. You just gotta get in with your local club and get buddy with the good folks there and let them know what you're into, and somebody's going to reach out and help you for sure. But absolutely check out the used equipment, because like Bob said, with the new 7300, there's a glut of it out there. Both ICOM, Kenwood, Yaesu, everybody is maybe getting rid of something that has a few years on it that is still a great radio, but they want that brand new 7300 and they're trading them in, or just again putting them in a closet. So that's a great way to go.
Hey, check out this new thing we just got, you guys. Jeff's gonna come here. He's gonna come point out some buttons here. Jeff, yeah, he's listening. So this is funny. We just got this from a friend the other day, and it's 10 through 80. Jeff,
yeah.
It is 10 through 80. I can't see the buttons up close, so I can't explain it to you. It's so funny because Jeff said, this is the total rag chewers radio. You just switch over to the transmit and you just keep it on there. So there's no PTT. You just switch the knob. So no wonder they talk so long, right? Yeah. No, this thing is, we can't wait to hook this up to an antenna and see what it does. 100 watts. Have any of you guys seen one of these before?
Back in the day, Joe Walsh and I had one Atlas 210 in the back of the tour bus, and we had a Hustler on the back of the tour bus. Joe reminded me here a couple of months ago when we were together. He said, "I wonder how many of those Hustlers that we left at some of the tolls." It was up over the bus, but Atlas 210, we worked all around the world from the tour bus. Great rig.
Awesome. Oh, now I really have to play with it. Jeff he's beaming. He's like, this is a good find, you guys. So we're excited now. I can't wait to play with it. I'll keep you guys informed. Maybe we can do a video while we're trying to hook it up to an antenna and stuff. And it doesn't seem to have a tuner on it. So he better make a resonant antenna for this thing. We'll have to work on our wire situation here. So that's I'm looking through my questions here. I think that's all I have, you guys. So great show. Lots of good announcements. And thanks, Dara, for coming on there and giving us a scoop on the hamvention. So, Bob, I'll send it back over to you.
Okay. Yeah, it's been really fun. Super stuff. And we'll be back here next week and do it all over again and see what comes. But, gosh, I wish I could go down to Xenia this week. Was it Friday night is the tractor pull, and Saturday night's the horse show. And I know you're not going to believe this, but Sarah and I love tractor pulls, and we love horse shows. In fact, we were just here at the Greene County Fair in Springfield a few nights ago to watch their draft horse show. It was great. And draft horses, we're talking about the Clydesdales and Budweiser and watching them do their tricks. We love all that stuff. See, there's a lot more to look at, but I'm really excited because that's going to be a great venue. I can verify that from what the report I got today and everything else that's coming on. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you back here next week, and who knows what'll happen, but I bet you we'll have fun, that's for sure. So take care and keep those antennas warm. And we'll talk to you next week. This is K9EID. Bye-bye for now.